I just got back. So as I've mentioned a couple of times, kind of the charm of this thing is that it's we don't really prepare. But I would say, I give my apologies, it's even worse than usual. I just got back from the National Bike Summit yesterday. I left DC at 2 a.m. yesterday, and four buses, four trains, and one plane later, and two Senate hearings later, I'm here. So I'm a little bit fried, but we had a really great National Bike Summit. I was gonna do a whole section on the National Bike Summit, but I think instead, I'm gonna embed some of my observations and experiences in DC into our trivia questions that are to come. So yeah, so it'll be more fun than me just talking about what happened. But it's a, what, huh?
Who? One yay for that.
One yay? That's all, whatever. I'm here for you. I'm here for that. I'm not going to talk about the National Bike Summit for 10 minutes. So the big thing that I do want to share, and this is for everybody that does care and that is interested and wants to know how they get involved with advocacy in town, is Bike for Collins put together what we're calling the Advocacy Action Team. And the idea is our city and our transportation systems and the way we get around and the way we design and the way we plan our city is really complicated. There's a lot of players, there's a lot of committees, there's a lot of teams involved. I think after a year plus of running Bike for Collins, I realized we really need to have eyes and ears on a lot of what's going on, a lot of the groups in town that you maybe wouldn't intuitively think affect bike safety and transportation safety can play a really important role in it. So we've kind of broken this thing down into, I didn't write it down, but we have legislative issues, business affairs, parks and open spaces, land use and planning and zoning. So basically we've got like 25 or 30 city boards and committees that we really want to kind of like have a team, like just like spread the wealth a little bit in terms of what's going on in planning and zoning, what's going on in the Downtown Development Authority, what's going on with the parking board, like find out, have people that are working with us and reporting back and helping us to figure out how we can influence all of these different organizations, all these different, these planning groups to come up with outcomes that make our streets safer, get more people on bikes and create a more inclusive culture. So if you are interested in that, I think it's bikeforcollins.org, and then I think if you go to our advocacy, there's a sign up form and you can click at what you're interested in, if you're interested in legislative issues or business issues or health and environment issues or whatever. But we're not asking people to show up for every meeting of every one of these committees. We just kind of want to spread out the effort of keeping track of what's going on, follow agendas, report back to us on agendas. It's going to be a really cool project. It's going to be really important over the next couple of years. There's a lot happening and a lot changing in Northern Colorado, particularly with the county has a comprehensive plan update coming. The city is doing a transportation, transit, and city plan update. We're never going to get a better chance to have a say in what the next generation, the next 20 years, 50 years of Fort Collins looks like than to have a really strong presence and a really strong voice in the planning process of these plan updates. You know, that's they determine how we build roads, how we build communities, how we plan our city, and we need you guys' help to make sure that that happens in a way that's safe and inclusive and promotes bikeable, walkable communities. So please get involved if you can, if you're interested in any of those things. It'd be really great to have you. Support us, support the work we do. We're a nonprofit. You can support us by going to bikeforcollins.org, and we have, I think, a support us tab, but we really appreciate it. Anything you got, we're really here to take care of you. So I'm gonna jump into the next round of Topo Trivia Night. What's that?
Natalie's ready.
Are you ready?
Natalie's ready.
Come on.
So we
need three more volunteers, or this is gonna fail. Okay, we got one. We got our first volunteer. Come on up.
Come on, Natalie. Okay.
Natalie's coming up too, I hear.
Yeah, all right, Natalie.
Up. All right. And then who's our third? We need a third person for trivia.
Zip McRae's coming up, I heard.
Zip's coming up. Zip's coming up. All right, give it up, everybody. All right. So, and I should say too, before we go, Kelly Henderson is here now. She wasn't here earlier. Kelly Henderson is the owner, operator of Urban Mattress Fort Collins, one of our generous sponsors. We're really glad to have her here. Really glad to have them. Give it up. I've been giving out expired 5% off cards for the prizes for getting the questions right. So you heard it here. Kelly's going to honor if you win a question, she's going to honor the expired 5% off Urban Mattress card. So we're really grateful to have her help. And I didn't give. So we have look this stuff in the middle of the table. This is Topo's Topo. Where's Rick? Rick Topo. Topo. So we have stuff. We have we got to figure out how we do a tie break for round one. But we got stuff for the winners of each round. So this is really cool. So are you guys ready? So you know the rules? So
you got this.
How do we make this work better so that they don't raise their hands before I'm done with the question? What do we do? I don't know. Don't raise your hands until I'm done with the question.
We could penalize
them. The answer's two, because sometimes there's jokes in those.
Okay.
Not always, but sometimes there's jokes in those, and I want to get my jokes stepped on. So, okay, are you guys ready? So I'm going to finish, and as soon as I'm done, fire up the hands with the right answer, and then whoever gets the most bucks at the end of the round goes to the championship round. Are you ready?
I guess if they put their hands up early and they're wrong, boom, out of here.
Dan's the enforcer, okay, on Trivia Night. All right? Okay, we're doing this. All right. Silence from the audience, please. Are you ready? What program developed by FC Bikes and Bike 4 Collins, now run by FC Bikes, was presented by Jamie Gaskell Fox at the National Bike Summit earlier this week? Was it A,
Natalie.
Put your hand down. Is it A, Bike Friendly Business Network, B, Neighborhood Active Living Plan, C, Bike Friendly Driver Program, or D, Virtual Reality Bike Safety Video Game, Safe Routes to Jewels?
Natalie.
Bike Friendly Driver Program C. Yes, you're correct. It is C. All right. I don't know about that. I don't know.
I took it with Jamie.
All right. All right. Fort Collins currently leads the country in these with a current total of 56. A, bike friendly businesses. B, miles of off-street bike paths. Put your hands down. C, bike shops. Or D, triathletes who have been banned from group rides. If you cut off my jokes, they don't land. Yes. Miles of off-street bike paths. No, I'm afraid that's not correct.
Yes.
A, bike-friendly business. Yes. All right, there you go.
Excellent work, Zip.
So that's cool, right? So
this is one of them, right?
So this.
That's one of them, I imagine.
There you go, right. So they're not yet. We need to be, though. So the League of American Bicyclists, in addition to certifying cities as bike-friendly communities, universities as bike-friendly universities, also has, so this is all under the Bike Friendly America initiative. And as everybody knows, probably, we're a platinum bike-friendly community, right? One of five in the country, pretty cool. We are also a platinum bike-friendly university, Aaron, nice work. And we're also one of five, Aaron did it all, five in the country of those. And we lead the country. We 56, second place, I was like 40. We're killing it.
Suck it, Boulder.
Well, no, it's not even Boulder. That's the punchline. It's Boise, Idaho. It's Boise, Idaho. What's that?
There's no businesses in Boulder because there are a bunch
of hippie
freeloaders.
That's where 30-year-olds go to retire.
So that's pretty cool. We're really excited. And I guess I'll throw a plug in. If you do work for a business that is interested in getting involved with bike-friendly business, give me a ring. Call me bfb@bike4collins.org. We'll hook you up. We'll get you involved with the program. It's awesome. We have free beer for that one, too. All right, name this former Fort Collins bike community celebrity. Is it A, Kelly McDonald, B, Amelia Neptune, C, Jennifer Langhorne, or D, DK Kemp? Yes. Kelly McDonald, that's right, there you go.
What's Kelly doing these days, Chris?
So I ran into Kelly at the National Bike Summit. Kelly is now the development director for the Boise Bicycle Product, who are in second place for bike-friendly businesses, not first like we are.
On.
Kelly's doing great. It was really great to bump into her at the National Bike Summit. This is how I was like peppering in the National Bike Summit stuff into the trivia. So she's doing good. So moving on to the next question. You guys ready? So this was three. So what do we got?
It's a tiebreaker. That's what you're supposed to
do. This is the tiebreaker, all right? This is why we have to do four questions.
She's hired. We're bringing Natalie up as our trivia.
Right. So are you ready? Are you guys ready? No hands up until I'm done reading, until I get to the punchline. Is everybody clear on that? This local bike organization is in the middle of a huge reconstruction project. Just demolished one of their buildings. This is A, Fort Collins Bike Share, B, Lee Cyclery, C, the Fort Collins Bike Co-op, or D, Safe Routes to School. This guy right here.
Yeah.
The co-op is right. Fantastic. I think that was clean, wasn't it?
What's that?
What's your name? Good.
Douglas.
It's Douglas. Douglas wins round two.
Excellent work,
Sorry, guys.
Douglas.
Thank you guys for playing. Thank you guys for coming up. All right. All right, so I'm going to bring up our next guest now, and I'm going to have to do a little song and dance while I switch to her PowerPoint. By way of introduction, a couple months ago now, the mayor Troxell, had a proclamation at City Council one night where the city announced its support of a statewide initiative called Road to Zero, which was CDOT and the state's iteration, I guess, of the Vision Zero mission, which we've talked about before and I won't get into, but it's basically an idea of, I will get into it. It's basically an approach to traffic safety that is more engineering focused and less about like, hey guys, drive slower. So it's more about kind of system solutions and making our streets safer by engineering. There's a lot more to it than that. That's why we have somebody that actually knows what's going on here. So I'm going to bring up Martina Wilkinson, who's also a dear friend. Martina, have at it. She's going to stall while I pull up her PowerPoint.
Do you know any jokes, Martina?
Yeah, no, I don't. But I was going to talk about Towards Vision Zero, but now since Chris did, I'm done. So, all right, well, thanks for having me this evening. I'm the assistant city traffic engineer for the city of Fort Collins. And as Chris said, we're good friends. And I work an awful lot with Tessa Grieger at the city of Fort Collins as we work towards implementing bike infrastructure, looking towards bicycle safety. And tonight I'll talk about, in general, roadway safety and what we're doing for all modes of travel on the roadway, also in support of bicycles. There'll be a little bit more of that later. So this is a really upbeat group, and that's fabulous. But every meeting has to have a little bit of an emotional cadence to it, right? So imagine this for just a second. If a 737 crashed overnight, then it would be all over the news tomorrow morning. 140 people died. You know, and all the anchors would go to the crash site and they'd have interviews and all the family members and, you know, this, how did this happen? How can we make sure this never happens again? It would be a huge news story tomorrow on Friday. What if it happened again on Sunday? What if it happened again on Tuesday? That is how many people we're killing on our roadways in the United States. 35,000 in the United States last year. Yeah, it's close, it's going up again. So by the time this meeting is done tonight, about 6 more people will have died on roadways in the United States. So that's really the idea between towards Vision Zero. In the city of Fort Collins in 2016, and these are all brand new numbers, and so like Chris said, I don't really know what's on the next slide because we're just now finishing up our annual safety report because we have all the 2016 numbers in, so you'll have to bear with me here. But in 2016, we had 4,300 total crashes in the city of Fort Collins. Those are crashes that are on their public roadway systems that are reported to police services. 264 severe crashes and 8 fatalities. Typically, on average, we average about between 4 and 5 fatalities per year, and so that happens to be a high year. Sometimes it's been as low as 3, sometimes it's been as high as 11, but last year was not a good year for fatalities. And as Chris said about in December, when Fort Collins was the first local municipality that did a proclamation in joining the Department of Transportation in Towards Vision Zero. So what does that mean? What comes after the logo? It's great to have the logo. It's great to have the proclamation. But really, the point is how do we work together to really comprehensively look for and act upon opportunities to help people drive, ride, and walk safely? So a couple different elements to roadway safety. There's the people, the drivers, the riders, the walkers. It's the roadway itself. What are we doing in terms of the roadway geometrics? And then there are the vehicles. But really, tonight, we'll just talk about the two that we can have the most impact over. Obviously, vehicle safety is a huge deal now, as we're starting to look into automatic braking systems connected in autonomous vehicles. Hopefully, that'll have a big impact as well. All right, here's our trends for overall crashes. That's the blue line on the top, and then our serious injury and fatal crashes in the last 5 years. So overall, our crashes are up. Our serious injury crashes are down. And about 80% of all crashes that are reported to police services don't involve any kind of an injury. So that's good, but for 264 people in the last year, that was their worst day. So what are we doing about it? And it really is a comprehensive approach. If there was one silver bullet, if there's one thing that we could do to make this all better, obviously we would go about it. It's a big reason why we come to work every day, but we have a tendency to call this the 4 or the 5 E's because it really is a comprehensive approach. You have to sort of nibble away at all the different elements in roadway safety. But before you really can start in on making any kind of an improvement, you have to understand what you've got. So it really begins with good data. Anytime that there's a reported traffic crash, that gets filled out by police services, and those traffic crashes then come to us, and we put those into a database. We use the actual crash reports as opposed to just the aggregated crash reports, and so we get every single crash report, and the most important thing that we do is we get the description of the crash by the police officer on the back. We get all the witness statements as well. And that's the piece that really gives us the insight into what was happening when the crash occurred. A lot of the Department of Transportation crash information that you get is really just aggregated information, and that's really good to start with, but this is what gives us the details to understand what happened. And then what do we do with that data? A lot of different things, but primarily what we start looking for is doing a statistical analysis to really identify the locations where we're seeing crashes that are more than what we would expect. And we use the Highway Safety Manual that came out in 2010. We use safety performance functions. You know, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at it. But for those of you that are engineers and sort of like to geek out, we have ginormous spreadsheets where we keep track of every intersection. We put all this information in for data and volumes and crash data. We can look at what the predicted crash frequency is. And then we can determine whether a particular location has a higher excess crash cost than what we would predict. And those are the ones that we're seeing that statistically are ones that we might be able to look at. We also look at trends. We have algorithms that can tell us if we're seeing more rear-end crashes than what we would have expected, or more crashes of a particular mode than what we would expect. And then we can do safety audits. So we look at particular locations to see if there's what we can do about it. We have a program that puts all of our crashes into what we call a collision diagram, so we can pull up a particular intersection and see what kinds of crashes we're seeing more of than others. We can look for patterns of recognition, and then we get a lot of outside input too. We get about 2,000 or 2,200 phone calls into our office every year with a lot of input from people that say, this is a location that concerns me, could you take a look at this? And that's really valuable. So, and that's where we identify potential improvements. The other thing that we do is it all goes into a GIS database too, so we have a heat maps where we can see where we're seeing more crashes than others. We can sort that by crash type too, so we can look at bicycle crashes or pedestrian crashes that occur in different locations. And this can be a little bit misleading because if you have more crashes, then it becomes more red, but if you have more volume, then it may well be that the crash rate's not as high, but it certainly tells us where to go looking as well. All right, so here's a couple of interesting finds. Generally, in the city of Fort Collins, about 73% of our crashes occur at intersections or driveways. That's almost inside out from a rural kind of a statistic. In unincorporated Larimer County, about 70% of the crashes are single vehicle crashes that run off the road. But in urban areas, almost everything occurs at the intersections or driveways. This is one, and I'm sure you know those of us that are cyclists are really sensitive to this. If you look at total crashes, motorcycles and vehicles account for about 95% of total crashes. But look at what happens when you get to serious injury crashes. You know, the vulnerability of people that are on the roadways is very different. You know, overall, bike crashes are only about 4% of our crashes, but they're 23%. Of our serious injury crashes. And here's fatals, and this is over the course of the last 5 years. So when we look at fatals, those are the total numbers of fatalities that we've had in the city of Fort Collins in the last 5 years.
Am I correct that we did not have any bicycle fatalities in 2016?
One.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman that was on a recreational ride and ran into the back of the parked car. Yeah, so. All right, here's a different one, too, where we can look at severe crashes with severe injuries or fatalities and what kinds of crashes they are. And those are the ones, then, that we really can start looking at in terms of what can we specifically do to start addressing some of these crashes. So when we start looking at different kinds of solutions, what do we do about this? So here's just a couple of examples. Here's a real low-cost example. This is Mulberry, eastbound on the approach to Mason. So you're looking towards college. A couple of years ago, we started seeing a really high number of crashes, more than what we would expect there, especially eastbound. When we went out and looked at it, 13 crashes in 3 years, a lot of red light running crashes. Trim the trees.
Oh, man.
Look at that difference. That's profound. Yeah. All right, here's Laurel a couple of years ago at the first three intersections, 87 crashes in 3 years. Okay, we did that as a sort of a directional road diet. We have a center left turn lane there. We took the parking off, added bike lanes to it, cut the crashes in half. All right, this is a little bit more complicated. Approach turn crashes are crashes that occur primarily with left turn vehicles. Left turn vehicles that are, what's that? Yeah, I know. I don't think I can drink. I'm on the clock. So, although the clock does never seem to end, I know. So, these are people that are trying to make those left turns oftentimes at the end of phase. So, when the light turns yellow and then red, and then they're waiting for the gap at the end to go. The important thing to remember is if you've entered the intersection legally, so if you've entered the intersection on yellow, then you have every right to complete that turn as long as it takes you to do it in a safe manner. So it doesn't matter if the light turns red and you have to wait to go. I know people sometimes get really impatient because they think, oh my gosh, it's red, I have to go. But you can make sure that the cars are stopping before you go.
So I don't usually, I like to let you go, but this is a really interesting one to me. What is the legality of securing the intersection in terms of not waiting at the white line to initiate the left turn across traffic and going out like mid-intersection?
Right. That's very legal. You can go out into the middle of the, yep, absolutely. You can go out into the middle of the intersection as long as it's green, and then when the phase changes, you can go. But what happens here a lot of times is that people get anxious before they go. So do you want to take questions now, or do you want me to run through them?
Generally, I guess, if anybody has questions, I think
so.
Do a couple, but I don't
know.
Yes. Since this is for cycling, I think that's a very dangerous spot for cyclists, being on the very right side of the road where people are trying to make that left as you're coming towards them.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous for cyclists because you can't see that car, they can't see you, so if you're kind of going into the intersection, it's kind of yellowish.
Right, and we'll see that a little bit later. I have some bike crash info, and I'll show you what the approach turn crashes are for bike crashes too. So here's an example. At college in Trilby, we had 21 crashes in 3 years. What we did at college in Trilby was we put in an advanced detection system where the signal can see cars that are coming, and it's looking for a good time to change when there's no cars coming. So it's called detection zone protection. In the peak hour, we can't do it as much because there's always cars coming, but in the off-peak hours, the light will wait to turn yellow until you don't have people coming through at the very end of the phase. We also adjusted the time when the whole platoon of cars is arriving, so they arrive earlier, and we made a big difference there. Here's another one, College in Monroe. Monroe is the intersection that's immediately north of Horsetooth. And so that's the one for folks that are driving south on College. A lot of times late in the day, the queue from Horsetooth stacks up all the way through Monroe. And what we were seeing was that a lot of people were trying to make lefts, and there's all these cars that are stacked up, and someone will wave a car through, and the first two lanes will wave you through, and in the third lane, you got a car that comes through and hits them broadside. And what we did is we changed that in the peak hour. We changed that to a red arrow instead of a flashing yellow arrow. And look at the difference in crashes. So, all right, we do a number of capital projects as well, and we use the same safety data that we have to inform those projects and what we do. It also really helps us applying for safety funding as well for any number of projects that we have. All right, education and encouragement. That's something that I think especially the city of Fort Collins and this community is actually really good at. And more, I think we're trying to be really comprehensive because a lot of this is education-based. These are just some of the examples of things that we do. And then I know we've talked a lot about it here as well, that we have a neighborhood traffic mitigation program, Safe Routes to School, the Bike Friendly Driver, the whole ambassador program. And really what we're looking for is those partnerships. Where can we find people that have an interest in this coming from all different walks of life? You know, what, how we can empower residents, how we can have people talk to their neighbors, what groups can good do, and what we can do together. And then enforcement. It's so easy for us to say when the phone rings and someone says, you know, there's too much speeding in my neighborhood, say, well, that's an enforcement issue, you know, because it's so easy just to push it off. But, you know, really the point that we're trying to make is really make this deliberate effort to work together instead of just sending it off to somewhere else, but embracing and leveraging the potential. So we've set up recurring meetings with police services. We share crash information and we collaborate on those efforts. You know, we've shared some information specific for bicycle crashes with police services, and this is the one where, you know, the gentleman was talking about the left turn here with the bicycle that's coming the other way. And then more recently, that bicycle traffic citation course that's really helpful too. All right, let's talk just a little bit about specific crash types. Again, these are all numbers now that include our 2016 data. Here's the overall bike crashes over the course of the last 10 years in the city of Fort Collins. You know, we had some really bad years in 2012 and 2013, and then...
And then Tessa got here.
We'll give her, all the credit for that. But we had some really good years, and we kept wondering, especially when we had that huge dive in 2014 down to 140, if that was an anomaly, if that was sort of a statistical thing. But 2015 looked great. 2016 is up again a little bit. You know, but our serious crashes are staying very similar, and our overall crashes are still down from 2012. So still have a lot of work to do, but it's getting better. This is interesting. When we look at bike crashes by month, and we overlay that against the total number of hits that we had on all of our automated bike counters in 2016, and it's so interesting to see how they look so similar. You get more bikes on the road, and there's just more exposure as well. All right, here's our types of bike crashes. Almost 90%. Occur at driveways and intersections. You know, so the risk, the point of risk for cyclists when they're riding is really in the intersections. A quarter of them involve wrong way riding. You know, if there's one thing that we can do in terms of education to try to teach our people that are riding their bicycles, don't ride the wrong way on the sidewalk or on a bike in a bike lane. I mean, we could knock a quarter of these bicycle crashes right off the board if we would stop riding the wrong way. And only 11% are side swipes. So the brown pie piece there is the approach turn crash. That's the left turning crash that you were asking about. So. No, those are ones that are. Are at a right angle, right. So the right hook is an overtaking crash. That's the 14% is the right hook. So, you know, the city of Fort Collins started dashing those bike lanes on the approach to intersections to try to get the right turn positioning of the vehicles so that we don't have vehicles to the left of bike riders. And we think that's been pretty successful. We have anecdotal improvements. This is one that's on North Mason, right before Cherry Street. And this actually wasn't one that was showing up in our crash data, hardly at all. We had a call from a gentleman that lives in the apartment complex that just went in. And he said, you know what? This happens out here all the time. You know, and come watch. And I've set up a video camera. And there's crashes that occur every single day. They're not serious crashes, but there's so many cyclists that bite it on these tracks. And we went out and watched for a while, and we're like, oh my gosh, they're right.
Who recognizes this intersection?
Yeah,
who recognizes
this? Yeah. Right. And so this wasn't showing up because more times than not, they weren't getting reported. But at least anecdotally, the guy tells us that we've fixed the problem.
Are there any other areas in town where you think there's a high frequency of cyclist accidents that aren't getting reported?
It's hard for us to know because we're looking at the reports. But if you're sensing those, or you're seeing those, or you know of those, let us know. Because again, if there's something we can do about it, sometimes it's a really low cost solution.
Is access the best way to do that?
Yeah, or I have plenty of business cards. It's almost easier to just give us a call or send me an email.
I think real quick, I think that's really important. Is every most of the crashes, most of the serious injuries, fatality crashes are places that most of us would have predicted them to be. So when we report them to traffic ops and to the city planners, that's useful. I mean,
absolutely.
Might save a life. If you go, if you're uncomfortable there, somebody else is going to be injured there. So. Right.
All right, there's just a few more here. We don't have that many more to go here. This is Mulberry at Wedby. So this is looking eastbound. This is what it used to look like. We were seeing a lot of right angle crashes, in fact, 12 in about 2¾ years. All of them involved red light running on Mulberry. Two of them were serious crashes with bicyclists that were on Wedby that had the green, and we had red light runners on Mulberry that hit them. This is what we did. We added a signal head. We upgraded the size of the balls. They used to be just 12 inches for the red and then 8 inches for the yellow and the green. We upgraded them all to 12 inch bulbs. We put reflective back tape onto the back plate of the signal heads. Trim the trees. And now it's been just a little bit more than a year. We've only had 2 crashes. And they were both people that ran the light on Wedby, none people that ran the light on Mulberry. So. All right, education efforts for bicyclists, and you guys all know about these. Some are again, some are city efforts, some are collaborative efforts, some are CSU efforts. Safety Week is a big effort that we put together with Colorado State and Police Services as well. And this is at least something I always like to use as well, because there's so much that we're doing in terms of infrastructure in the city of Fort Collins. The protected bike lanes, the buffers that we're striping on anywhere we can get buffers. We're narrowing up our travel lanes and adding buffers. And these are all really things that we need to do to encourage more riders. The reality is that a lot of this is along the side of the street. A lot of this isn't in the intersections. And so it's really important that we do this so that we can get more riders, because they need to perceive that they're safe. But when we look at the actual safety needed to keep the riders safe, what we really also need to focus on is trying to minimize those intersection crashes and do the education for the cyclists and the drivers and reduce that wrong way riding. And what we really find is that we think that the most successful programs are the ones where we can integrate the two. So, and ultimately, we look at evaluation. We want to monitor what we're doing. We want to keep track. Are we really making a difference? Because a lot of times it used to be with our crashes, identifying a location to try to make an improvement was really based on some sort of a gut feel, or it was based on very recent crash history. My son got hit here last week. What are you doing about it now, right there? And that's an important component, but it's not the only component. And so now what we're really trying to do is sort of shift from that reactive mode into being really proactive and looking to see what the data is telling us and where we can go out and make a profound difference. So how are we doing? This is just sort of a quick comparison. These are some comparison cities that are similar in population to us. Total crashes per 1,000 population. If you look at injury crashes per 1,000 population, we're doing pretty well. And if you look at the fatal statistics, because those are the easiest ones to really compare, because it's really hard to compare what gets reported and what doesn't and what counts as an injury and what doesn't. So fatal crashes are reported pretty comprehensively and similarly. And we are about half of the average of all of these cities. So our fatal numbers are really pretty good as well. So ultimately, we take this on ourselves, and we hope that everybody else in the community will take this on, is to really create a culture where the fatalities and the serious injuries are no longer acceptable. It's not okay to have this many serious injuries or fatals on our roadway system. It's just not okay, and we have to work towards Vision Zero. So. Little changes, a little bit at a time. We have a lot of work to do. So.
I'm Shane from the
You know, I don't know if the city has a position on that, but you know, I mean, and I think and Chris can speak to this too. I know in police services will certainly have their take on it. You know, I think you know Idaho has proven that statistically it's just in terms of the stop sign piece of it is just really not an issue. So it's part of that's political, you know.
I can actually answer fairly specifically. So in 2013, it was the city council asked the bike advocacy committee or bike advisory committee to deliberate and offer a recommendation. At the time, the bicycle advisory committee recommended against it at a city level. The reason, and I was one of the people that was against it at a city level. The reason that we were against it at a city level is because if you've ever looked at city limits on a map, you don't know where city limits are for the most part. They change mid-block, they change week to week. The city limits are all over the place. We had it on good faith. Both of us worked for the county. The county was never gonna go for it. The county, they're very conservative in terms of their traffic enforcement. That it wasn't gonna happen. So it didn't seem safe or responsible to do it as a city issue. And I guess I should maybe say what Idaho Stop is. Idaho Stop is the idea of that bicycles would be allowed to treat stop signs as yields, and then the bigger extension of that is to be able to treat stop lights as stop signs. So they would stop and observe. Well, I'm sorry?
Stop.
Yes, right. So it has been proven pretty successful, as Martina said, where it's happened. Obviously, there are issues of perceptions of exceptionalism. So we were opposed to it at city level. The Bicycle Advisory Committee recommended against it at city level. That's as far as it went in 2013. It was Senator Andy Kerr introduced it as a statewide bill about 2 weeks ago in the state Senate, and it died in the state as well. I supported it. Mike Fort Collins wrote a letter in support of it as a state initiative. I think that makes perfect sense. I think doing it statewide is great. City level seems really scary to me because then you have, you know, issues of changing law mid-block where people don't know where the law is. People don't know if you're in city limits or in the county unincorporated, and that seems really dangerous to me. So that's the short version on Stop as Yield. I yield the floor back to Martina.
I have a question about, you have this slide with the number of riders and the number of crashes, and it looked to me like there was a strong seasonality there that corresponded to when the students come back to CSU in the fall.
That September number?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I guess
our car crashes go up too.
Yeah. Well, it strikes me that there's like a population there that's related to, and I work at CSU. I'm very familiar with what it's like to be in and around campus, like in September. And I guess I'm curious if there's any effort to like work with CSU, and you know, through orientation or through any of those things.
This is why Aaron's here.
Hello, I'm Aaron, and I work at CSU. And it's only been since January. So that's something that is in the works right now that's being reviewed. There's no, in terms of timing, commitment to when it would be in place, but CSU is looking at some sort of education program that would come along with, there is, if I see a hand up there. Oh yeah, so yeah, we've got Rambasters on campus, so I don't know if you've seen the students run around campus. Oh yeah, do you want to talk about that? I didn't know you were here. Here, come on up here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, while she's making her way up to it, during the Bike Safety Week that occurs also in the fall when the students first come back, part of what we did is we worked with police services, both CSU Police and Fort Collins Police, to identify for them where our highest crash risk locations are for cyclists, specifically for students. And so, you know, through our GIS data, we were able to pinpoint where to do targeted enforcement for the students that come back.
Well, and I was just, so that means when you think of the new underpass, is that related to that?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely, yeah. So actually, you know, Shields and Elizabeth was one of our really high crash locations for bicycle crashes.
So my name's Heather Reimer. I'm the co-chair of the Campus Bike Advisory Committee. I also sit on that with a number of people on the campus. So one of the things that, not specifically committee directed, but that is happening within CSU is CSU PD. Joy Childress is the bike educational like advocate on campus, and they're working with the city of Fort Collins, with Tessa and Jamie, to do an educational program that would be required by all students when they come to campus. So it'd be part of what they come on board. They go through a lot of different things, including alcohol awareness training and a lot of different pieces, sexual harassment and so forth. So this would be part of that program. And we've actually vetted it through various, like, and I'm not the right person to talk about this, but I do know what's going on. So they're really active in producing this program that we think will become a requirement. And it's more just, it's not just about bikes, it's about pedestrian safety, longboards, like all aspects of active transportation at the university. So really trying to educate the students, and that we're looking at it as a greater, like to the greater whole. And so not just the students while they're at campus, but when they go out into past Fort Collins, either within our community or outside of our community, so that we're really teaching them from the very start how to be better advocates for what they're doing and their means of transportation.
Is there an aspect to that that also teaches them how to drive safely?
I wish. I will say it's not necessarily focusing on that.
Well, there's an aspect that it's getting them to drive, fewer of them to drive.
So it's definitely it's a very important part of what we're doing in trying to make sure that we're educating the students on how to really be good citizens within this community, not only on campus, but outside of campus as well.
We look at all of our crashes by age as well, and you can tell that, you know, under 25 people are overrepresented in crashes, something like fivefold. So that's experience and judgment and whatever else. Yeah, and phones.
So I'm gonna wrap it up with Martina. Are you gonna stick around or are you gonna get out of here? Okay, so typically we don't do questions with the presentations because part of the value of this is we like to let people hang out and meet each other afterwards. So we try to wrap up on time, and then the room is available and open for everybody to ask questions one-on-one and get to know people. So we're gonna move along. So I wanna thank Martina for her time, first of all. Give it up. It sounds like she's gonna stick around. Did you have what I just say? We're not gonna do questions. I was gonna do that too. Go ahead, do your thing.
They do every couple of months, and my wife and I went to it, and it was very, very useful, especially from the viewpoint of an active cyclist. You'll notice it used to be that there was a grid that you rode over, and that's what tripped the signal, but now we have the cameras up there, and you actually go in and see in the operations center how those cameras work, how they set up the GIS, and all the detection, et cetera. So if you get a chance, go.
Yeah, those are public open house tours of our operations center. You get to see our video wall. You can pull up any signal you'd like to take a look at. We can look at signal timing. We can look at detection for bicycles, for transit, for what we're doing for all modes of travel. Our next public tour is April 5th. It's 5:30 to 7 p.m. And we do it. It's a Wednesday. We do it on a reservation basis because we really only can take about 20 people in the operations center. So if you just call our front desk and just grab a business card from me if you're interested. But we generally find, I know it sounds sort of technical, but we generally find people are pretty interested in seeing what we're doing. About half of our signals now in Fort Collins have bike detection on them.
I was going to plug that too, but in even more like dramatic terms, I go in there and bother them from time to time, and it's like if you Friday afternoon from like 4 o'clock to like 7 o'clock, she and Joe Olson, who you guys met last summer, if you were here at our episode last summer, are literally controlling traffic in Fort Collins from like there's a desk and a wall of like NORAD. There's like a wall of monitors, and they are running the show, and it's amazing to watch. It's like air traffic control. It's really cool. So thank you again for your time. Thanks for coming out, and we're gonna move on to the next thing.